So this morning, we're going to get a little lesson on football.
Oh.
So I'll have some helpers up here in a little while. So the title of my message is, You Have a Place on God's Team. Okay? So there's going to be a lot of, we're going to have a little bit of fun. It's going to be serious, but a little bit of movement and some questions. And so I'm going to start off with a couple jokes. Okay? All right, so these are football jokes. Why did the football coach go to the bank? To get his quarterback. What do football players... like, I didn't... Yeah. yeah. Money, right? okay. Becky, what do football players wear on Halloween? Face masks. That one wasn't as funny, I guess. No, okay. I didn't make these up. I borrowed them. How do football players stay cool? By standing close to the fans. Oh. Which two football teams played in the Pirate Super Bowl? The Seahawks and the Buccaneers. Oh, see the connection? Oh, thank you. Okay. And why did Cinderella get kicked off the football team? Because she kept running away from the ball. Oh, cheesy. All right, so if you don't know the game of football, turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. Oh, Pastor Steve is hands up. Well, Pastor Steve is in for a surprise this morning. Before we jump onto a football team, you're first going to need to get into the team spirit, okay? So my idea this morning was that, so when a player first joins a football team, it's usually, you know, young, like Ashton's age, and they go through the process in high school, they get to college, and that flame for wanting to play the game just keeps burning and burning, and they get on the team, and there's a lot of preparation. And then you get drafted into the NFL if you're good enough. But there's steps, right? So you don't just suddenly one day wake up and you're like this phenomenal football player. You have to practice, you have to be gifted, and you have to execute. I didn't have those on my notes. Those just came. Those were really good. So practice. What did I just say? I said practice, gifted, and execute. Okay, that's cool. Thanks, God. Okay, good. So there'll be three different steps, three, and you'll know when we get completed on the first step, because it'll be a big, oh, you made it, you did it, and then we'll go through, okay? So what does teamwork mean? Typically, teamwork is defined as cooperation between those who are working on a task. Teamwork is generally understood as the willingness of a group of people to work together to achieve a common good or an aim. What does teamwork look like in today's church? Go ahead. What does teamwork look like in today's church? Anybody? What's that? Sharing responsibility in the church? Okay. That's good. What else looks like something that's a part of a team in a church?
Praying together.
Praying together. Standing together. Okay. Where one and more are gathered, he is there. What's that? Loving each other. That's great. It begins with servanthood also, being a servant, right? Putting others before yourself, not looking to be the top dog right from the start. Willing to put others before yourself, stepping into the gifts, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about gifts as well. The gifts that God has given you and using them. Now, do you guys recall messages prior? I remember Pastor Steve talking about how in the beginning, Pastor Steve was very timid about getting up in front of people, right? You were shy. Grandma knows the early beginnings. But he went from knowing how he felt like that, but knowing that he had a call upon his life, and so he stepped over that barrier and is now up here freely and speaking and probably doesn't have a single nerve in his body ever. Not too often. Well, that's great, because it still hits me on occasion here. But so stepping into the gifts that God has given you and using them. But yet, Steve made a conscious decision to be obedient to God's call in his life as a pastor. Each player on a team has a specific role to play, right? Almost all unique, right? Every player, now some players play different roles, maybe they'll, and we'll talk a little bit about the positions and stuff, but there's certain positions that guys might be really gifted at. So maybe they can catch the ball really well, and so maybe they might run the ball. Maybe they're really good and they're big and they're real grounded and they can block other guys. Each position is no greater than the other, right? Without one type of position, the whole team falls apart. And you don't make it to a Super Bowl. Did you know that you are a unique creation, right? So there's no other Jack. Jack is the only Jack. Jack's the only Jack. Van's the only Van. Steve's the only Steve. Rebecca's the only Rebecca. Right? The whole world, like, think about it. Like, there's nobody just like you. Like, there's people that have similar interests as you. Maybe there's a doppelganger of you out there. You guys know what a doppelganger is? Basically, they look like you, and you're like, oh, geez. Somebody told me I was a doppelganger to a singer one time. I can't remember. Do you remember who it was? No? Okay. It's from American Idol or something. I think my mom told me that. I was like, thanks, Mom. I look like somebody else. So there's not another person quite like you on the planet, but he's called you for a purpose. He's called you to this body, right? You have an individual responsibility to this congregation. You are unique, and you have a unique place in this room. Amen? Amen. So Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So he knew you even before you were even made, created. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So the Lord knew I would have faults. Oh, interesting. So he knew I would be at fault. He knew that I would have fears. Yet he still wants me on his team. He still wants you on his team. How often do you feel like that last kid picked on the dodgeball team? We were seeing in films where it's like that one kid who's on the side and he's kind of scrawny and he's, you know, he's got his pushes his glasses up and he doesn't like that, look like that typical player on the, who's going to score points or knock the other guys out, right? Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes we feel like we're not picked, like we're not maybe walking in what he's called us to walk in. But he's saying, I love you, I have appointed you, you have a purpose. Amen? You are not that last man on the team. God wants you to know that you are his first pick. Ooh, first pick. So first pick, when you get drafted to the NFL, you're at the pinnacle. Every team wants you. Why? Because of the success you've had on the field. Maybe you've ran for 2,000 yards in a season. I don't know if that's beyond crazy or not. That's probably beyond crazy. But you're wanted. You're wanted by all 32 teams. And God is saying that you are the first pick. You are the first pick in the team. And we're to walk as if we're that first pick. In love. He desires you. That's just how he feels about you this morning. There's no hidden meaning. No politics played, no hidden fees. Like buying a cell phone, you always feel like there's hidden fees. God doesn't play the hidden fees game. Your involvement on his team is what he desires. He wants you to be plugged in. Everybody say, get plugged in. Get plugged in. So congratulations, you've made the team. You have a roster spot saved for you. So what is your role on this team? How can you help this team? You have a Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 4, or if you have an app on your phone or tablet, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. That's going to be 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, Father God. And he gives them to each one, just as he determines. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you. Nobody excluded. Right? Pastor Steve? So I asked Pastor Steve, I was praying about the message, and felt like he's been around the globe. He's been around in different churches. He's seen different gifts of the Spirit and how they've been activated. And I wanted to ask you to just share a little bit about that.
Okay. So it's been interesting. I became a Christian in 1974. I've been here for 31 years on staff in various capacities. And as I've been involved with different groups, of course, we're an Elam Fellowship Church. We're also affiliated with Global Awakening. We've been to their conferences, the Voice of the Apostles, Voice of the Prophets. Mike Deal is currently going to school there. We've been down to other classes. We've been to things at Life Center. Then, of course, we got affiliated with Bethel, and they're who trained us to do the SOZO program ministry. So what has been interesting to me over the years is the development of spiritual gifts. So back in the 70s, is what was called the charismatic renewal, and it's when the body of Christ first come to understand being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it seemed like different groups emphasized different gifts. So at Elam Fellowship, one of the main gifts that often function when a group of Elam Fellowship pastors or credential holders get together is the gift of prophecy. And prophecy is when you hear God say something to you, and then you share it with either a group or an individual. Then at Global Awakening, most of the people affiliated with Global Awakening, they hear words of knowledge and pray for people for healing and see them healed on a regular basis. So Frank will remember, because he and I aren't that much different in age, is back there in the 70s and early 80s, everybody took gift surveys and gift studies, and you tried to figure out what your one gift was. And then, as I've been around various groups and in and out of different meetings, all of a sudden I realized, Pastor Adam just shared that verse with us, that the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as He desires. And so, yes, there may be one gift I use more than often, but I want you to think about two things. Then I'm going to sit down and let him finish the message. Is if God gives me a word of knowledge for Sonny, and I go back and share that word of knowledge with him, who actually receives the gift? He does. I was the vessel passing on the gift. If the Lord tells me, hey, I want you to have the faith to go and pray for Frank that he gets healed because he came with a headache today, and I'm not speaking that on him, but let's just say I go over and I pray for him and I say, God told me you came with a headache. He wants to heal you today. Frank receives the healing. Who got the gift? Frank did. So my idea of the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he wills, if I'm willing to be a vessel, any of the gifts could come through me. I don't very rarely, I pray in tongues, but I don't speak in tongues in a church meeting, but I have. And so different gifts, as long as you're open to be used by those, you know, I've heard a number of people say, I think Pastor Kurt was the last one, I think it was Pastor Van, said one of these days he wants to walk on water. Well, if God needs him to walk on water to get to somebody who's drowning, I can believe for that. So Lord, same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So then the other point is that, so they get the gifts and then you're willing. So I think I shared them both. The other people actually get the gifts. You're just the vessel. And if you're open, you can move in any of the gifts. So you don't have to say, well, I just have the gift of. we don't have to identify that anymore. I can say I very regularly move in the gift of prophecy, but that's not the only thing God has done through me. Amen? As the Spirit desires, He distributes the gifts. We just have to receive them and share.
Amen.
Hopefully that's what you wanted.
Yes, thank you. Amen. So now that we've identified that we're unique and that we have access to the gifts, right? It's time to get to a game, okay? So tonight's one of the biggest sporting events of the year, the Super Bowl. Fun facts of the Super Bowl, 8 million pounds of guacamole are consumed tonight. 8 million! 14,000 tons of chips are eaten along with the guacamole. One of the 10 most watched American television programs of all time, 9 of them are Super Bowls. The Super Bowl is measured in Roman numerals because a football season runs over 2 calendar years. And in 2020, a 30-second commercial cost anywhere from $5 million to $5.6 million. 30 seconds! $5 million! They better be good for that price. Did you know millions upon millions will be viewing an event where a team of men, although the Niners have a female assistant coach, which is interesting, stand side by side and battle for the chance to become champions of their sport. You see, God's given you Christian brothers and sisters in this body who are willing to stand with you in the gap in preparation, in prayer, and in pursuit of God and His will on this earth. Being a team player in the kingdom of God takes preparation, prayer, and the pursuit of Father God. When it comes to the great sport of football, no player or coach goes into a game without proper preparation. Right? The coaches that are coaching their teams tonight, they've been preparing for weeks. They've been studying. They've been locked in rooms. They've been talking to players, to other coaches. Preparation, right? Knowing what team he will be up against, what type of defense he will be facing, he takes care of his body and he's ready for what will come next. No player goes into a game without practice and focus. Prayer is our powerful tool to impact our mission fields. Communing with the Father will sharpen us and keep us focused for the challenges ahead. Each and every player is hungry for a win, hungry to show their worth to the team. Father God wants us filled with His Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be complacent on where our walk is because we're searching after Him. After all, it's not a sprint, but a marathon. Oftentimes we want it to be the sprint. We want to get close immediately, but we have to recognize that this Christian walk takes time. It's a marathon, right? It takes time to become like Jesus. Sometimes change doesn't happen overnight, right? As much as we'd like it, for those of us who are impatient, we just want change like that. But this walk is a marathon. As long as we pursue His DNA, we're going to get there. We're going to become more and more like Jesus. I was praying back there, and I wanted to take a small sidestep away from the actual message because, and I'll ask you, Pastor Steve, also, but we have a few friends that are in China right now, and I had gotten an email earlier that I looked at. We have friends that we went to Elam with, the Richies, and then we also have friends, the Cotters, who I believe are in Indonesia now, maybe? China or Indonesia, that whole area, and with what's being affected with the coronavirus and the hardships, I know that they're being affected. Do we have any, the Malones? Laura, oh, okay. Yeah, I know Laura. Yeah, see how, like, all these Elam connections that we have? Bluebergs? Jacob. So we have missionaries that we support over there, friends that we're supporting, and have seen what is happening to the body of Christ over there, where it's actually opening doors through the devastation of the virus, which almost sounds twisted, but it's God taking this terrible circumstance that's happening, and these missionaries, specifically Matt and his wife, what's it? Grace. Thanks. Matt and Grace sent a picture via email of him in almost like a hazmat suit with the mask on, and they had like backpacks full of masks, and He said that, like, the fear is real over there right now because of the virus, but it's also opening the doors to allow them to minister to people who they may not have been able to minister to because they have those masks to in their backpacks to be able to give to the people. And so the doors are opening through this, which is amazing. So if we could just take just a quick moment, I just want to pray over our missionaries and just ask that they would have the hand of God over them during this time for health, safety, and even these doors to open because we see how terrible it is, but it seems to be like rising and rising. But through that tragedy, we know God is bigger and He can open these doors. So, Father, we just pray over our missionaries, Lord, that we've mentioned this morning. And Father God, we just ask, Lord, that You would just protect their families, Lord, from any illnesses, God. Lord, that You would open these doors, Lord, where it seems like before maybe there weren't opportunities for them to spread the gospel, because that's their main function there, is to love on the people and share Your word, share Jesus Christ with them. And so, Father, we just ask for those opportunities to continue, Lord, as they're handing out these face masks. God, Lord, as we look at it as a tragic event, Lord, You're seeing it differently, God, and we want to see this differently, Lord. So we just pray, God, that Your hand would be upon them, God, that You would protect them, guide them, that You would bring, if they're coming home, bring them home safely, Lord. We believe this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. Thank You for that. Now I have to find where I was at. So our practice is complete. Okay, so we got to the point where we've discussed the gifts, where we've practiced. You've overcome the workouts, the team meetings, which are long, and the grind of the week. Finally, it's game day, right? So on a football team, there's typically 106 players on the field at one time, because you see some of them on the sidelines. 53 on each team. Thousands of people in the stands watching to know how it's going to be, what should be done, and just keep yelling, especially if things are not going well. My kids can attest to Daddy yelling and jumping around when things do not go well during game. There will be millions of more armchair quarterbacks who can do it better than the one on the field, and coaches better than the real coaches who are watching from their living rooms. Now, no one on the team gains experience from those who were never in the game. I'll say that again. No one on the team gains experience from those who were never in the game. God's opening doors that He wants us to walk through. We're not going to gain experience. We're not going to grow until we walk through those doors. The Holy Spirit is moving. Opportunities are presenting themselves, just like we just prayed in China. Opportunities are presenting themselves. It's go time in the kingdom. So, it is now time to meet our pro team. Gentlemen, can you go make your run back there? Hold on, Emma. Now the awkward silence of bringing in the Niner gang from back there. So we have real fun parallels of what it looks like, God's team, and a sports team, a football team. Pastor Steve, come on up. You're the next contestant. Not The Price is Right. All right, so we're just waiting for the offense to come in the room. Okay? So this will be a good visualization of what God's team is paralleled with a football team. Okay? Here they come. All right. Let's give it up for the team. All right. Go ahead, Emma. All right. So go ahead and hand this off to Pastor Steve. Okay. All right. So we have our offense set. All right, boys, up here. Okay. All right, so on every football team, we have the center who hikes the ball, right? Who's going to hike it to Pap-Pap? You want to hike it to Pap-Pap?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So you stand in the middle. Okay? All right. I thought this would be easier. Okay. You're over here. All right. You're the wide receiver catching the ball, right? Because we can put up the points. Okay. We got another wide receiver on the edge. Over here, who's going to catch the ball? We got We got the running back who's going to cut through the lines. Score the points. Okay, cut it. Okay. Papap's going to stand right behind Zany. Okay, you hold the ball. Okay, everybody stay still now. Okay? So we have our team, the offense. Now, the offense is the team that scores the points, right, guys?
Yeah.
How many points are they going to score?
99.
Okay. 99 points with this team. So the offense, okay, you guys listening? Okay, look up here. So the offense starts with a good team owner, right? So the team owner makes all the grand decisions. He puts all the pieces together, all the different players. The team owner on God's team is God. Does that make sense? Oh, okay, God is the team owner. All things take place under his direction. Okay? Then there's the president or the general manager. He's a step, kind of a step below. Still makes a lot of the most of the decisions for the team. The owner kind of overshadows everything. And so the president or the general manager is Christ. He chooses each person's gifts and role on the team. The head coach is the Holy Spirit. He equips the players and empowers them, right? Have you guys ever had a coach before? Does the coach usually shout negativity at you? Maybe in a tiny bit. But majority of the time, he is the positive role that pushes you forward to be the best that you can be, okay? Then we get to the quarterback. Ah, the quarterback. The quarterback is the pastor. Throwing the children around. The quarterback is the pastor. He receives the call from the coach, right? Who's the coach again? The Holy Spirit, right? So he receives the call from the coach, and he directs the play. Now, then we have the running backs and the receivers. So the receivers are on the sides. They'll catch the ball. The running back runs the ball. Now, who do you guys think the running backs and the receivers are in the church?
Us?
Yeah. Well, yes, for this demonstration. But they're the staff. They're the staff. They assist the pastor in carrying out the play given by the Holy Spirit. Then we have our linemen. They're the guys up here, okay? So the linemen tend to be a little bit stockier, a little bit bigger. I'm not saying you guys are stocky and big, but they tend to be a little bit more grounded because you know what they need to do? They need to protect. They need to bear arms and provide protection for the pastor, the quarterback. And lastly, the playbook. So every good coach has a playbook, right? So tonight when you watch the game, there's going to be certain plays that are called that are probably on some scribbled notepad. Okay? The playbook is the Word of God, the Bible. Isn't that cool? Thank you, guys. All right, you want to hike it to Pap-Pap? All right. You ready? Set? Hike. All right, and then to the receiver. Touchdown. Good job, guys. Thank you. Thank you. High fives. Go team. Go team. Go team. I'm sorry. Thank you for your help. So you guys can go sit or go back to your class. I'll take the ball. Thank you. All right, round of applause for my Niner gang. Thank you. So, Lucas was in the car, and I was telling these guys, hey, you guys, you're gonna help Daddy with this. Okay, you can sit with Mommy. I was telling these guys how, you know, I wanted them to kind of show what the offense looks like and, you know, compare it with how it looks like in the church. And they asked if Pap-Pap would do something with the ball, and I said, yeah. And Lucas said, so is he going to give the football to somebody kind of like Jesus gives his heart away to the other players on the team? And I was like, oh, man. Yeah, you got it. Like, I didn't get that part, but yeah. Like, giving that piece of Jesus to those that are protecting him, to those that are scoring the points for him. It's very good. So the emphasis on the gifts that each teammate brings to the team. Ephesians 4:11-16 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." So having those gifts builds up this body until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him. And who's him? Jesus. Who is the head? That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that team that you saw up here, without the quarterback, it falls apart. Without the wide receivers and the guys going out to catch the ball and run the ball, the team falls apart. Without the protection, the quarterback ends up on his back. Right? The pastor ends up on his back without that. And so we have, you are unique, and we have that, we have a specific role in the body of God and in this church. On God's team, he wants your very best, right? So we're ready to play this game. He wants your very best, not to be complacent. He's looking for you to step into the calling that he has placed on your life, to bring that X factor. That's a kind of a football thing, like guys that have the X factor, right? There's some big name players who make big name plays. They have the X factor. No matter your age, no matter your current situation, he wants your very best. So there's a sticking with the football theme. There's a movie called Facing the Giants. Has anybody ever seen it? Probably like, I don't know, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old now. And so, phenomenal movie about a coach who was on the team. The team wasn't doing too hot. You know, he was kind of borderline, almost like on the verge of probably even like losing his job. And he saw that the team wasn't really even buying into the success that he believes that the potential that they have. And so they made, they were a terrible team, and the hope was that he brought to the team was the decision to honor God with their effort on the field. So I have a quick clip I want to show you. It's about 5 minutes. Emma? And listen for the coach starts kind of yelling at the kid, like really driving him. And just listen to what he's saying to the kid. Because, you know, as soon as I went back and kind of watched over the clip, I could really feel like that's how God is responding to me when I'm going through the adversities and issues in my life where he's saying, push through, you can do it. Trying to bring out the very best in me. So I actually wrote down a few things he says while we're kind of waiting for it to come up. He says, "Don't quit till you have nothing left. Don't quit on me," he's telling the player. "Your very best. I want your very best. Keep driving. Keep pushing. I want everything you got. Everything." God's into setting up teams, right? Mark 6:7-13 says, "Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over impure spirits." Right? So with the disciples, they weren't just sent out individually. They were sent out together. Team, together. Right? You ever heard there's no I in team? There's none. Right? These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals and not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So they had a sense of authority because of the gifts that they were walking in, because of the calling that they were walking in, and because they were on a team. Authority means the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. In football, the coach sometimes will give the QB the authority to change the play right before they hike the ball. It's called an audible. Why would he do that? So why would a coach give that ability to the quarterback? Quarterback's liable to make a mistake. If he sees something that needs change, he might make a mistake. So why would he do that? Because he sees a pattern or look in how the defense is lined up. He wants to give his team the best opportunity to win by altering the call, but the coach has total and complete trust in that quarterback to make that call, the right decision. Now you're ready to make the big play. We're on the team. Remember that song, Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Play Today? That was a baseball song, but no relevance to football. Coach is confident in you. Coach is confident in you. Coach loves you. Coach desires you. Coach wants to be with you. Coach wants a relationship with you. You're on his team. He's confident in you. Say, he's confident in me. So is the rest of the team. Your place on the team is set. You're set with your unique gifts. Don't waste it. He's pushing you forward. He wants to see you succeed. Just like we saw Brock, whatever his name was, I think it was Brock, being pushed by the coach. More, more, give me your best, give me your best. That's what he's asking of us on this team. So take the ball, because it's time to score that touchdown. Go ahead and just stand with me. And we will close out. It was funny, I had cleats down here and gloves. Forgot to use those. But those are all tools for a player, right? So a player doesn't go onto the field, especially in the Super Bowl, not wearing shoes, right? Not being prepared. He's prepared. He knows what's coming ahead. He doesn't go onto the field without his gloves, right? Because the ball's going to come his way. Chances are it's going to slip through. He goes prepared, right? And so it's important that we, as Christians, are prepared. Prepared to use those gifts and callings that he's given us. Prepared to identify and know that what those gifts are in our lives. And so let's pray together that if maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a good grasp on what that gift and calling on your life is, but you're willing to activate it once you figure out what it is. So let's just pray and ask God to show us, to remind us together. And so Father, we just pray together, Lord, this morning, God, as we've seen just the body of God looks like as a team, God, with the representations of having the kids and Pastor Steve up here, Lord, and knowing that each player on that team, on this team in CLCC, has a role to play, has a unique gift to enhance the body. Father, we pray, Lord, that if any would be here, Lord, that don't know what that gift or even the calling to be able to use that gift is, Lord, that you would show them, that you would open their hearts, that leadership here, Lord, would stand with those, Lord, that are trying to bring out that gifting and use that gifting in this body, Lord, because like you've mentioned in your word, Lord, that without the certain branches of a tree, it can't be upheld. The ligaments of the body, Lord, without the leg, we're just falling over, God. And so we have several legs and arms and heads and feet and all these different pieces of our body here, Lord, at CLCC, God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bring them out, that you would rise them up. Lord, that a flame, a fire would just rise within ourselves, God. And tongues, we would start speaking in tongues, Lord, that we would see healings, that we wouldn't just be complacent with just a normal Saturday, Sunday morning, Lord, that we would just dig in deep to draw closer to you so that we can bring those giftings to this team within this body here at CLCC. Because when we're able to do that, Father, we're able to bring that beyond our doors. We're able to bring it to those open doors that are in China, Lord, where things aren't going right and viruses and illnesses are happening, God. Lord, that you would be our rock, God. be our rock this morning. Father, you're the reason why we get up in the morning. You are the reason why we get up, God. And so, Father, we just want to give you the glory this morning, Lord. We are thankful that we're on a team, God, that we're on your team, that we're on a team that with an owner, with a coach that cares about us, is willing to stand beside us and help us along on this journey together. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, that you would just continue to speak, Lord. Lift up our spirits. Speak to our spirit man inside. And so I just pray just over everyone here this morning, Lord, that that you would get them home safely, Lord, and for our families, God, that you would draw our kids, our grandchildren, nieces and nephews closer to you, Father God, closer to you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.